is a prayer by Rupa Goswami. So I thought we'd start with that today. So many nice classes this week, and I've been much inspired by them. Whether or not I can, after Monday's class, Irmala's class, everything is a tough act to follow, but so many other very ecstatic classes have been given. So I thought I would put myself at risk and present some information about Radha and Krishna, more or less a compilation of some of the things that I've heard over the last week. Personally, I know nothing about Radha and Krishna. But people are much inclined to read mundane literatures and to see movies that are about boy meets girl, love stories. So being mundane myself and knowing about these things, I thought, why not make a story about a devotee meeting a karmi and turning that person into a devotee? So I wrote a movie script called Celibate in Chelsea. As then we made a trailer of this after some time, parts of the movie were made, but it was never finished. So now working on a novel, almost the 20th edit of the novel. And I can promise you the book is going to be much better than the movie because it's a lot more preaching in it, a lot more preaching. But I'm much more happy now, I'm much more satisfied than when I was trying to make a film. A film is a very abbreviated piece of work. Very abbreviated. You can't say everything. You can't put everything into it. At any rate, so this part, I'm going to read some parts from this. I was inspired to write a whole chapter about Radha and Krishna. So this part comes after this heroine, Shannon, has had a realization that Krishna is God, but she's still asking questions about the philosophy, just like us. We're asking for so many years. So many years we're asking, what is this? Because the philosophy is ever fresh, we can enjoy it over and over again. So this is from chapter 68, the esoteric parts. So Shannon wants to know, what about Radha and Krishna, divine couple? What does that mean? Oh, the hero, his name is Ram. Oh, that's very intimate stuff, secret stuff. You may not be ready for that information yet, Ram tells her. How do you know I'm not ready? I can tell. I'm not ready yet myself. The intimate affairs of Krishna and Radha are only spiritually appreciated by devotees who accept Krishna as God and see themselves as his servants. Otherwise, people take these pastimes as mundane, lusty affairs. They skip over the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam to the 10th canto to indulge in mundane conceptions of an affair between an ordinary man and an ordinary woman. Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, a summary of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad means the most beautiful person, Bhagavatam, the story of Sri Krishna, Bhagavan, the supreme person. Radha is Krishna's girlfriend, his lover. They're always together, eternally in loving exchanges. Radharani is the topmost devotee of Krishna. She loves him the most, satisfies him the most, more than anyone else, because she selflessly loves him. She's Krishna's direct expansion, his loving potency. She is his pleasure potency. Sounds like Radharani is just a pleasure vehicle for Krishna, Shannon interjects. She's a bit of a defensive feminist. So Radha is Krishna's love manifest as a person. Krishna and Radharani are the same soul. They become eternally individually separated in 2 bodies for their pleasure. They're non-different. 1 absolute truth in 2 different forms. Don't think God is exploiting anyone. Radha's not a robot. Krishna is all attractive. So simply seeing him gives her immeasurable pleasure. Radha takes Krishna's ecstasy, then her loving experience is the highest emotional experience possible. Krishna is all attractive. but Radha attracts Krishna. Krishna considers the pleasure Radha derives from serving him to be superior to his own ecstasy. Robots don't have emotions. She loves him. She loves her. He loves her. Krishna loves her pleasure. Krishna gives her pleasure. He also loves her pleasure. She experiences that pleasure and she wants to distribute it. She expands Krishna's loving potency to create the universes and all the souls therein. The spiritual sky with thousands of planets ruled by different incarnations of Krishna. And the material universes for the wannabe Krishnas. Currently, that's us. I want to be Krishna, I want to be Krishna. That's what we're doing here. I want to be Krishna. Krishna wanted to see, or wanted to taste, and explore Radha's ecstasy as his devotee. To experience Radha's pleasure, he came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaura, as in Gaura Natai, my deity's here. The location, they're in Ram's apartment, and he's showing her his deities. There's a story about how Lord Chaitanya came to be, Ram said. Shannon sighed. She was giving him her rapt attention. So tell me the story. Chant the mantra first. Shannon laughed, and they both chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The nice thing about writing a book is you can type out the Hare Krishna mantra, you can cut and paste, and you can put it in over and over and over again. It's really nice. Radharani had a dream one night. So this is the story that Janani Vas told the other day. And I was very impressed. It's very nice. Radharani had a dream one night. She woke up and told Krishna about it. I was in a lovely place, just like Vrindavan, with beautiful flowers and birds. And there I saw a golden youth walking about. He was calling Radha, Radha, like you do when you call me. Then he was calling Krishna, Krishna, like I do when I cry because you are not near. Krishna told her, look at my Kastava jewel. Radha did. She saw its rays expand all around them, creating an environment just as she had seen in her dream. They saw the golden youth, and Radha could see how she and Krishna were together in one form. The form of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar. Radha and Krishna's objective in coming as Lord Chaitanya is to spread love of God, i.e. love of themselves. When we reach the stage of wanting to increase their pleasure, we become free of our material attachments, and we are entitled to return to spiritual realms. Krishna had another objective to fulfill as Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to experience Radha's ecstasy, which he considered superior to his own. We are also expansions of Krishna, meant to increase his pleasure, just as a child ideally increases the pleasure of his parent. We are meant to reciprocate in a specific exchange of pleasure with him, our rasa, our relationship. Our rasa is a unique relationship each of us has with Krishna. We're not meant to be robots. We have a choice. We can love Krishna or we can envy him. We've forgotten this choice, forgotten our origin, our creator. So we have all these problems, fears, misconceptions, ignorance, death, old age, disease, rebirth. So what is love, she asks. Love in its highest form is called Mahabhava. Radha is the embodiment of Mahabhava. Bhava means intense love of God. Maha means great. Radha only loves Krishna. The various qualities of Radharani's love are considered her tattva, her potencies. They are very confidential. You can't enter into an understanding of them simply by intellectual study. You have to want to surrender to Krishna. Then Radha judges your sincerity, your desire to serve Krishna. Do you know how she tests? Tell me one way she tests. No, Shannon's lost. Oh, I know how sincerely and carefully we chant. Chant what? Ram asks. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shannon smiles, she enjoys his quizzes. You got it, Ram says. If Radha knows you are sincere, she will recommend you to Krishna. Remember, one of her potencies is that she's expanded as Maya. Maya is protecting Krishna from those who want to be Krishna. I want to be Krishna, I want to be Krishna, so Krishna is being protected from me. Shannon says in a deep voice, impossible. Right. You know, Radha encourages us to come towards Krishna. But Maya, she bars us. She gives us many tests to prove our sincerity. Krishna can only be purchased by unconditional love. Radha is the judge of when we have attained that love or that level of love. You can't cheat her. No one can trick her because she is both Maya and Radha. She knows what's in your heart. We're always taking shelter of either Radha or Maya. We take shelter of the spiritual freeing potency or the material binding potency. Radha wants to elevate us out of our misery. Maya has the service of keeping us here until we are completely, totally materially exhausted. Shannon becomes quiet. She wants love, Ram's love. I still don't know what love is, she says. You know what love is, come on. Love is an exchange. So many things are exchanged between people who love each other. Trust, gifts, appreciation, jokes, criticism. Saying I love you, what does that mean? I value you. You are attractive to me. You're giving me pleasure by being here with me, by tolerating my fanaticism. I want to make you happy, satisfy you in so many ways. The term I love you is an abbreviation of all those desires we have to reciprocate with each other. There are different degrees of love, right? Brotherly love, parental love, conjugal love, friendship, the love of a servant for a perfect master, of a master for his faithful servant. These degrees of love dictate the kind of reciprocation, the kind of relationship we have. Devotees want those reciprocations with Krishna. They want prema, pure love, not kama, not lust. They want to increase Krishna's pleasure. People become attached due to familiarity. They say they love each other simply because they are comfortable with each other. Krishna's love is much better. Krishna gives us ever-increasing, never-boring, ecstatic pleasure. We only have to let him give us that ecstasy by opening up to him. Radharani is our example of a totally selfless lover. She's our guide. She's open to giving Krishna whatever he wants. She is surrendered. You seem to be an expert on love, Shannon says, almost like a taunt. The expert is Srila Prabhupada. He's delivering this love from Krishna in his books, his teachings. My wish is to be his puppet. Why a puppet? He said, we have volition. Why be something like a ventriloquist dummy? We have a choice, but it's limited. We are either letting Krishna's representative pull our strings or surrendering to Maya, letting her agents play with us. If you want to surrender to Krishna, you have to strongly desire to surrender. You have to will it. Surrender to Maya is easy. Just follow your senses. That's the way you see things, Shannon says. She's having a hard time buying this. You name me a choice that is not either a capitulation to sense gratification, what my body and mind want, or a surrender to devotional service, what Krishna requests. Give me a third alternative. Shannon is stopped. She mentally reviews alternative plans of action, but sees they all fall under one of two categories, serving Krishna or serving Maya, the temporary mind and senses. That she is a spirit soul is beginning to register. Ram reasserts, right, there are no choices between Krishna or Maya. So I choose to work under Krishna's control, but I have to make that choice repeatedly. I don't become a zombie or a programmed robot. I just want to please Radharani with my service, so she will recommend me to Krishna. So that's the end of that section. And this is another short part. It explains another issue about Radha-Krishna loving affairs. They've shared a joke and they were laughing, and then Shannon asks, does Krishna laugh at us too? Maybe, sometimes. But he has better entertainment on Krishna Loka. Much more clever people there. But he's aware of our nonsense jokes here too. I wouldn't say he's waiting for us to do funny things. It's all kind of sad that we're here at all. He grimaces a smile apologetically. Shannon suggests, it's all black humor for him here, isn't it? Kind of, yes. Radharani tells him jokes. They tease each other. Like us? Well, no. Radha teases to entertain Krishna. She scolds him. Sometimes she becomes angry with him exactly the way he likes her to. He loves it because he knows she's doing it for his pleasure, so he reciprocates by increasing her pleasure. Here in the material world, in our conditioned state of consciousness, there's competition of lording it over and joking and jostling. Shannon says, you're being cynical. Why? I mean, I couldn't joke with you unless I felt, you know, comfortable, kind of sure of you. You know, how you'd take things. I'm also trying to make you happy with a little repartee. True, we're friends. Friends don't compete as hard, at least not at first. Usually because everyone's competing to be God here, to show more prowess, more control, the competition gets pretty fierce at times. Jokes go too far. They become arrows, weapons, meant to wound. Sometimes even between friends and lovers, so-called. I've been hurt by people who were lots of fun to be with, friends, jokers. Then they got heavy into control. Well, that's enough. So the point here is, that's the end of the section. The point here is that Ram is acutely aware of the imitation that most couples are doing, the Radha Krishna imitation. He doesn't want to fall into this. To be with a member of the opposite sex is to be intoxicated by illusion. Radha and Krishna enjoy a pure intoxication, an ever-increasing escalation of love and attraction for each other. Here we enjoy for a few moments, hours, days, sometimes but rarely, years of exuberance, and then we become bored, we become disturbed, impatient, critical, critical, critical of our beloved partners. We're not like Krishna being chastised by Radha. No, when we're chastised or criticized, we feel neglected and resentful. Doesn't this person know I'm God? The all-attractive? Don't they know? This is our ingrained attitude, that I am the supreme, and no one should get too close. No one should get too heavy with me. No one should tease me. See, it's an interesting experience being a conditioned soul. Especially devotees become bored. We become bored with this kind of exchange. It's not... Isn't it true? Oh, we love our friends and partners, our parents and children. But we're always hankering for that perfect love, an unending love, a lover who perfectly reciprocates us, that perfect person, Krishna. We hanker and we're never satisfied by mundane relationships because we have been introduced to Krishna by Radharani, through her servant, Srila Prabhupada, and by his servants in turn. But this is our great benediction. It's that we no longer see pleasure in material arrangements, in material relationships. Unless they're centered around Krishna, there's no pleasure there for the devotee. He's ruined for material life, it's a fact. We're ruined. And this is a wonderful benediction. What is it that Lord Chaitanya was benedicted? You'll never have any material happiness. You'll never know any material happiness. He was ecstatic. It made him very happy. Because we don't want that material happiness. That material happiness is a distraction. So we want to avoid that. We've been spoiled. So Prabhupada's father, he used to ask the sadhus who invited to his home for meals and discourse, you please bless my son that he becomes a servant of Srimati Radharani. So that was a very wonderful benediction he was asking for. Just please become a servant of Radha. Now in Krishna consciousness we have a chance to become intense devotees of Krishna through the mercy and help of Srimati Radharani. Yes, we must become intense, internally mad to satisfy her, so that she will give us the pass to Krishna. Prabhupada often used the example of a secretary to gain admittance to a big man's office, Goloka Vrindavan. You need to go through his private secretary, Miss Srimati Radharani. So there's another section. Shannon, this is a section on the idea of gender consciousness that we're all so much aware of. Shannon asks, where does all this information come from again? Ram replies, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Vedas, from Bhagavad Gita. When one becomes an old soul, i.e. tired of the separatist struggle, tired of competing with Krishna for title of supreme enjoyer, when she comes to her senses, she says, enough. Get me out of this madhouse. Everyone here thinks they're God. Remember the concept of original sin, that Adam and Eve thought they could be as knowledgeable as God? Same idea, but better explained in the Vedas. Much more detail. It's true, original sin is simply wanting to be God. Adam and Eve did it. We've done it. I want to be Krishna. I want to be Krishna. Such a futile idea. Shannon asks, are all souls feminine? You're saying she. Krishna is the Purusha, the male seed-giving father. The living entities are Prakriti, his dependent counterparts. They're feminine in that respect. But there are male and female spiritual forms in the spiritual world. It's not all girls there, sorry. Well, that sounds mighty chauvinistic. I knew you'd say that, Ram tells her. Well, remember, we're all on the same side. It doesn't matter if God is a he, but he does a great imitation of a woman, too. Remember I asked you to consider God was all good? He really doesn't exploit or care about gender. He expands his love, and his love becomes Radharani, a woman. Radha is his direct expansion. Isn't that enough? She's called the Supreme Personality of Godhead's servitor. Some sexist people, maybe the fem-Nazis, would insist that Radha should be God. But Radha prefers to give Krishna pleasure because she experiences intense ecstasy by giving him pleasure and being with him. And besides, they are one. Krishna came to the earth as Lord Chaitanya to taste the ecstasy Radharani was experiencing. He considered her bliss superior to his own. Radha has her own independent personality. She's always in perfect harmony with Krishna because she's his direct expansion, his pleasure potency. Loving God is not about our gender misidentification. Don't go there. People are so lost, they have nothing better to do than make a fuss about their genders, trying to figure out which sex is superior. Male, female, they're a match set. Radha and Krishna are never fighting over who's superior or who's in control. Krishna's not showing a preference for one sex over the other by being male. He loves the gopis. He's fascinated by them because they love him. He creates each of us uniquely different to increase his pleasure. Pure spiritual love is not about dominance, it's about reciprocation. The problem with us materialists is that we are blinded by our lust for control, the reason we came to the material plane. So in the bodily concept of life, we can't do anything but compete with each other, even to the point of forming gender-biased teams. It's absurd. The point is moot. People get so hung up in this life's bokul, bodily conception of life, B-O-C-O-L, or rather B-C-O-L. The temporary gender identity, they want God to be on their sex's team. It's bokul. It's all preoccupation with sex, sex, more sex. Oh, there's a new way to feel abused about your gender. But by becoming a victim of your karma's sexual designation. Trust me, God is an okay guy. He's not a misogynist or a chauvinist. He loves his expansions. He doesn't exploit them. They only get hurt themselves when they turn away from him. So, there's a very nice, I'll finish up now with this one thing. Vikrishwari Maharaj put an offering to the community, a quote from Srila Prabhupada, on the Mayapur Forum. And today, that's of course tomorrow, today is the auspicious day of Radharani's appearance. So we should offer Pushpanjali and pray to Radharani that Radharani kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. To your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Radha and Krishna. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. Srila Prabhupada. So Vrindavan Leela made a comment about this. I was just online this morning and I noticed it. Maybe it was last night, I'm not sure. Anyway, I just noticed it. Actually, it was last night. And I was very impressed because I've always been a little disturbed by this particular mantra that she mentions. Vrindavan Leela made this comment on the verse, and I'd already put it in my notes. I already put this quote in my notes, but now Vrindavan Leela is giving us some information. She says, "Thank you, Vikreshwari Mataji, for this beautiful quote. This is so heart-touching. I would like to share my husband's memory of Srila Prabhupada and Vrindavan in this regard. During Srila Prabhupada's morning walks in Vrindavan, sometimes Vrijvasis greeted him by chanting Radharani's name, her name only, the same famous mantra that has become so popular lately. But Srila Prabhupada would always answer back, Hare Krishna. When devotees asked him, is that mantra bogus? Srila Prabhupada said that it's not bogus, but we should always say Hare Krishna. When devotees asked again about it, Srila Prabhupada explained that true devotees of Srimati Radharani never want to separate her from Krishna. Such separation causes her tremendous suffering. So her devotees would never think to inflict such pain on her by separating her from Krishna. When devotees asked again, then why these Vrijvasis say this mantra with only Radha's name in it? Srila Prabhupada said that those people have a different rasa towards her, and this is not the mood we should try to develop. And there's a note here, not all Vrijvasis say that. So Srila Prabhupada himself never uttered this mantra because he did not like separating Radharani from Krishna. Why a true devotee of Srimati Radharani would do that? Why would she separate Krishna from Radha? That's why, or Radha from Krishna. That's why when I hear these days devotees chant this Radhe-mantra, I can't help but think, who are they working for? Please, let's not waste time on chanting any other mantras, but chant more Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In honor of Srimati Radharani, and that will really please her. Hare Krishna, your servant Vrindavan, Leela Dasi. So I remember one time I was on a boat and we went to, crossing over to Navadvip, and there were a number of devotees on the boat. From another group, and they started to chant this mantra over and over and over and over again, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And I became very uncomfortable, and I thought, well, what's wrong with me, you know, why am I objecting to Radharani's name? So now I can understand a little bit more by Prabhupada's comments that we don't have any desire to separate Radha from Krishna. It's never our desire, and we never want to consider that she should be separated. So I thank you. That's my class. That's my reading. If there's any questions or comments, I'm sure I said something wrong. It must be something you can correct. Thank you very much. So someone must have something to say about Radharani, more than what I said.
Hare Krishna, I have a question. Today, looking at Sri Panchatattva, I saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, they were wearing Tulsi garland. And as I understand, the first four members of the Panchatattva are Vishnu Tattva, and Srivas is Jiva Tattva. So it's not a question related to the class, maybe. It may. But why is Gadadhar is not, Sri Gadara is not wearing garland. Because I don't
know. Gadara, right. Why is she not wearing garland? Janani Vas, can you answer this question? Sarhad Pujari? Why is some of the deities are wearing tulsi garlands, but Gadara was not wearing tulsi garland? So,
oh, yeah, we have Tin Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, Nanda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu. They have Vishnu Tattva, and Srivasa and Gadara are Shakti Tattva.
Gadara is Radharani. Radharani has her own tattva. Hare Krishna. So we can chant again this mantra, the Radha mantra. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite.
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite.
Gokula Tarani Mandala Maite.
Gokula Tarani Mandala Maite.
Gokula Tarani Mandala Maite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite.
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 Damodara Rati Varana Vese Hari Niskuta Vrindavi. Namadara Rani Varanavese Ani Niskutta Vrindavi Pinese Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Dadi Navasashileke Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake Vishavanu Dadi Navasashileke Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake Vishavanu Dadi Navasashileke Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake Vishavanu Dari Navasasi Leke Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Kurumai Karuna Bharite Sanaka Sanatana Charita Vita. Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. Karuna Kurumai Karuna Bharite Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. Namakurumai Karuna Varite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite.
Jaya
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Madhava Daiti Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daiti Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava. Glories, glories to Srimati Radharani, the beloved of Madhava, most worshipful of the cowherd girls of Gokula Mandala. Decorated with the dress of Lord Damodar's increasing ecstasy, you are the lady of the house of Lord Hari in the groves of Vrindavan. From the ocean of Rishubhanu has risen a new moon, which is overwhelming the qualities of Lalita and Vishaka. O goddess, your qualities are described by Sanaka and Sanatan Rishi and Sanatan Goswami. Please bestow your mercy upon me. So these are very wonderful, auspicious times when we can remember that wonderful person who is standing beside Krishna. And this is our opportunity to take it very seriously to appreciate so much the incredible purity of the relationship between Krishna and Radha. She is chastity personified. So we have this great opportunity to take shelter of her. She will teach us how to expand our love for Krishna and give us the highest pleasure. We can stop taking pleasure from so many material avenues, so many roads that lead to nowhere, so many dead-end streets in material life. We can give up on those highways and byways and simply beat a path to Radharani's door and ask her, please introduce us to Krishna. So thank you very much. Jaya, where is the Srila Prabhupada? Question, we have a question or comment?
No, it's just a comment on that song. When Achyutananda Maharaj was translating that song for the ISKCON songbook, he was telling us the meaning of that Damodara Rati Garadana Veshi dress. She's wearing the dress of Krishna's ecstasy. He said this means that whatever mood Krishna is in, Radharani would pick up and she would assume a mood exactly to please his mood. That dress she's wearing is Madhava's mood, so she immediately exhibits exactly a corresponding mood to satisfy Madhava. That's her dress she's wearing. It means a mood.
Decorated by the dress of Lord Damodar's increasing ecstasy, you are the lady of the house of Lord Hari and the groves of Vrindavan. In America, I don't know, probably in England too, lady of the house is a very exalted position. That's the highest position. In the home, the woman always makes all the arrangements. She's in charge of the home. Man goes outside to make money and bring money in, and then she manages in the house. So she's managing all of Vrindavan. She's the lady of the house. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shrimati Radharani ki jai.